and to be sure, you know, and to, of course, marry my daughter off to her fiance, and the Lord's been blessed and moving along those lines, and getting ready for that. And she's been working. She got her first job as an RN at Pardee, and she's been working and working a shift here tonight even. So pray for her and her new fiance, RR. And he has been a blessing. They were able to come up to Kiana this summer, last summer, and as a work crew, a team, they came up with Bethany, came back, and Micah, and RR, and Micaiah. They all came up, and I put them to work. We cut firewood. We got our winter's wood in. They painted the whole interior of our church, just a small church, about 20 by 40, or 30 by 40 building inside, but we got it all nice and pretty and everything, just like it ought to be. You know, it needed a paint job and doing things like that. But what a blessing they were, that team that came up. And then, of course, Bethany or Brianna eventually joined them. Their uncle had died, and she had to come up for the funeral for that. And that was a tough time for the girls. But the Lord worked it all out, and he's been working ever since. And we're just excited for what God's doing in the village of Kiana. And give you the latest update. Brother Hoffmeister and his wife, Jerry and Dave Hoffmeister, are filling in for us there while we're here in North Carolina. They're there in Kiana and have been dealing with the snow and the cold and the darkness. But they're used to it. They're from up in Alaska there. And I pray for them, if you would. But while we've been gone, the wind, we don't usually get a lot of wind, but one night the wind blew the church door open. And the whole church is not heated. We just heat the bathroom for sake of, you know, fuel. But the wind blew the bathroom or the church door open, and the bathroom heater quit the same night. So things froze, to say the least, and the toilet froze and broke. Just to give you an idea of what it costs to operate in Alaska, I found a toilet for $59 at Lowe's. Amen. up in Alaska, in Anchorage, you know, they got them cheap toilets, but it costs over $230 to freight it to the village. So that's the way life goes in the village. You can't just run to Walmart or, you know, the corner store to get things. I mean, they carry some things, and you know, but things like that are pretty rare to have on hand to go right back in. So they've been kind of out of service in the restroom there at the church. But it does take a lot to live there financially. But like I say, without y'all's help, it would be tough. You know, we appreciate the blessing that this church has been to us there in Kiana. And we are, we're working on 7 years, been there 6 years, and we're just thanking the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. I know there's all kind of other stuff I'm supposed to say, but I can never think of it when I get up here. But if you need details, talk to my wife. Amen. If you want details and things like that, I mean, I'll be glad to answer questions and talk like that about anything, you know, you have a question of. But I want to take up all our time tonight. I really have a thought on my heart here to share with you from God's Word. And as again, I'll talk more about the village here in a moment. But I was thinking about, you know, this new year. This is our first service in this, first Sunday night service in this new year. And you may have already been thinking this way or thinking about this, but how many of us, you know, want to have a prosperous and a successful and a blessed new, you know, this year coming? You know, every one of us probably raise your hand. Well, I'm wanting a good year. I want to have a good year in the Lord, and I want to know how to do that. Well, I want to share with you just some verses very here quickly as an introduction here, if I can say it that way. I thought about the verse, you know, that was in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. You know these verses, but let's apply them to this year, this coming year, and think about, you know, do you want to be prosperous? Do you want to be successful? Well, God told Joshua, he said, this book of the law in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 2, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So there it is. You know, that's a formula for the year. And it involves, you know, of course, none other than this book. And you know, I preached here three or four times in a row, the armor of God, and put on your armor and read your Bible. And, you know, but there's a key word in here that we ought to think about. It's not enough. And I hope you've already got your calendar marked, you know, for your chapters and verses for this year. Read through your Bible this year. Make that a goal. Read through your Bible. But that's not enough in this day and time. But we need more than just reading it as a routine and even a habit. We needed to make it the meditation of our heart and in our life. That's what he told Joshua. He said, meditate therein day and night. That's why you read it, is to get a message from God and to be able to hear from him. And then thou shalt be prosperous, thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I believe it's only then can a person have the success that God intends for him. Only if you're in God's Word and constantly dwelling therein and meditating, thinking about what God has for you in his Word. And so make a goal this year to read through your Bible, but stop and meditate as you go. That's where the prosperity and success will come from. And he even said, I thought of this also in Psalm, the first chapter in Psalm. You know it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then what he say in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There it is again. Meditating in this book, not just reading it, but meditating in God's Word. God says you'll be prosperous. And of course, the definition of that word prosper and success is, it's way different than what you read in the dictionary today. And what you see on TV and the success of Hollywood and all the other things of this world. God's success is far different than that. I would consider that we've had great success in Guyana. And the Lord's blessed. I'm not bragging on myself in any way whatsoever, but I want to make God look good tonight and just say that we give Him the glory for the success and the prosperity that He's blessed us with there in the village. It's not glamorous and in a lot of people's eyes, but in our eyes it is. God has just put that in our lives to love it and to love the people and be a ministry there in the village of Kiana. And then the Bible also tells us in the book of James. So you can find those in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 and Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. And then you can go to James chapter 1 and verse 25. And this is where I want to go from. Thinking about along these lines, he said, whosoever looketh, in James chapter 1 and verse 25, he said, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So there's I take it promises from God's Word. Another promise to be, we know how to be successful and prosperous. Now we know how to be blessed. If we look into this, this is the law of the perfect law of liberty right here. The Word of God is what James was talking about. Looking at this, it's like looking in the mirror. It'll show you what we need to be more like Jesus. It won't show you how to be more like this world. You know, don't look at it for that reason. But it'll show us how to be more like Christ and to be more pleasing to Him. And I'm learning. I'm growing. I look in this every day and see some things that I need to work on, things that I need help with. But to be a hearer and not a doer, you see, that's the danger. It kind of goes with just reading and not meditating. And you can even meditate. And then, you know, you can have personal success and personal prosperity and be personally blessed. But we're talking to, James gets into, you know, show me thy faith, you know, and the only way you can show somebody your faith is to is to work at it, amen, and let them know that you love Jesus, and let them know how much you love Jesus, and you do that by loving them, and loving on people, and showing how much you care for them, working with them, and living life with them, and that's what life in the village is all about for me and my family, and it has been, just getting in there with them, and living with them, and working with them, and showing them that we love them, and showing them that we don't want to be a forgetful hearer of God's Word. We want to do the work that He's called us to do. But there's a key word in verse 25 that I want us to look at. And then I'm going to go to one more text and try to preach just for a minute. In verse 25 of James, he said, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." Well, that's got my attention. If we can do anything in the year 2021, we need to continue. This church has done great and mighty things. And this church we got Ebenezer stones all over the place in that old building. We've got memories and God's done great things, but we need to continue. It's not about the past. It's said and done. There's a future out there. There's souls that need to hear the gospel and be reminded and shown the love that Jesus has given to them through us, through you. You're a major part of that, and we need to continue. So if I could share with you from Colossians, I know I've been a lot of places, but you write them down and look them up and use them to help you when you want success and you want prosperity and you want to be blessed. Just look in God's Word and begin to meditate. And then I begin to think on this in Colossians chapter 1. I want to read a lot of verses here, but I want to just expound a little bit and talk a little bit here about what God's done in our lives and what I believe He's expecting from us in this year. Last year, it's been rough, hasn't it? Probably I've heard preachers say it's the worst year ever. I mean, and it is in some ways, but I've also heard people say, "Oh, I've drawn closer to the Lord this year." It's been bad physically. It's been rough financially. It's been rough in a lot of different ways, health-wise and different things and sicknesses. But oh, the Lord, that's when His strength is made perfect in our weakness. We got to stop and understand that's when we're going to see Him at His best is when we're at our worst and our weakest point. But I was reminded of this, to continue in His Word. I want to declare to you a thing. I want to declare to you a testimony, and this is personal because I know Paul wrote this letter to the church there in the Colossians, and he wrote that as a report from Epaphras that their love in the Spirit was great, and Paul began to pray for them, and he wrote it down here in this letter, and he said in verse 8, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit, he said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." And you know, to declare tonight to you, I want to declare to you that there's some people in the village of Kiana that love the Lord. There's some people there that are saved, and they're looking to the Lord to provide their needs, and they're looking to the Lord to save their loved ones. They're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ because they have a personal relationship with Him. And oh, that's just the greatest report that I can give to you. It's not a great multitude. It's not even the majority of the village. It's a minority. But oh, they're great in the eyes of God Almighty because they are His children. And they've been bought and paid for by the blood of His dear Son. And I want to declare that to you. And I want you to begin to pray for the people in Kiana like Paul prayed for the Colossians here. He prayed. You know these verses, but I want you to apply this to what you've just heard about Kiana and the work going on there and the necessity of the ministry in Kiana. It's a tough place. It's a rough place. And the whole world's rough, amen, in this day and time. I'm not singling it out, but it's cold and dark and depressing and things like that. And it gets to a lot of people. But we have the light of the gospel to take to them. And to give them the joy of the Lord. And it's helped them. It's helped them. They've been coming and listening, been receiving the truth, and God's been giving the increase. God's been doing what only He could do. I can do nothing, and I just need to stand back out of His way and let God continue doing what He wants to do. But He does. From what James said, we need to be continuing in His Word, continuing. And I want you, we'll get there in a minute, but let me just insert this here. As Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, he said that you might walk worthy, verse 10. Pray for me, pray for Kiana, pray for each other. Pray this way that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What a prayer. I mean, and we're not done. He said, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or to be qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, that you talk about a prayer. That's a prayer that'll get through. And you know, so many times, and I believe we ought to pray with details and pray sincerely. But you know, I've learned a long time ago. I've learned to be just to be, you know, let God handle things, and because I'm just a redneck here from Western North Carolina, up in the Arctic. Amen. And I've learned that I may not know what to pray for in this situation. I don't have one clue what I might need or what might work here. You know, I might be praying for a blue snow machine, and I might need a red one. So I've learned to be careful with my details of my prayer because God knows what's best. But you say, preacher, well, but it's in my heart. Well, my Bible tells me that my heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above what? All things. And when the Bible says all, it means all. So I've learned, you know, I can't even trust my heart. I've got to meditate in this word and go to Him and just say, God, I pray that I might walk worthy and I might be pleasing unto all and be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, that's a prayer that will help your missionary. That's a prayer that will help your pastor. We try to pray for health, wealth, and success and prosperity and bless. But you see, our heart will deceive us. Oh, we think if I'm going to be successful, I got to stay healthy. If I'm going to be prosperous, I can't get sick. I can't do this. Well, you don't know. God knows what you need, and He knows the route and the way and the method to get you to where you need to be to see Him at His best. And oftentimes, it's when we get at our worst. That's not a shouting message, is it? But it's the truth. But we learn to pray. Pray for the people in Kiana. We've been through some tough times, some deaths of some loved ones, and death of ones that, you know, we're not even sure that they're going to heaven. That's tough. And we don't know for sure if they've accepted the Lord, but they've died and they've gone on and they're into the hands of a righteous God. And oh, that burdens my heart, and I hope it burdens your heart to pray that God would help us and the saints there in Kiana to walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And He's not through yet praying. But oh, that's a prayer list right there. That's a prayer list. If you want to pray specifically for me, just pray that I walk worthy. Pray that I stand in the perfect will of God and know His perfect will. And that my eyes will be opened and strengthened and all these things. He prayed a similar prayer to the Ephesians. And oh, I like Paul's prayers. And he went on to say, this is where I'm headed here. But remember, pray for Kiana that way. Pray for those dear saints of God that have been born again. We had two young ladies at the beginning of the year pray to be saved. And another young man just right before we left, the week we come down here, a young man prayed to be saved. And we've been praying for him. And we know he knew he needed to be saved. But it took over a year and a half for him to get to where God got his attention. And then another lady was saved. We've been having success. And I pray, I'm not bragging on me or nothing. I want to brag on God. It's Him and His ability. It's His gospel. It's His word. It's His strength. It's His power. We just want to get in and do our part. And I want to thank you for helping us do that. But let's continue. Let's continue. Continue therein. Because here's what it's all about. In the year 2021, it's rough, it's tough. It probably ain't gonna get no better. I don't know what's in store, but who knows? But I know God won't change. I know my Savior will always be there. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Because this is what the Word of God says. When Paul was praying, he talked about being delivered there from the power of darkness in verse 13. From the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Paul was praying to God the Father. And he prayed and he got over there to mention about him. He was no doubt testifying in his prayer about being delivered from darkness and the power of darkness. And many there in the church at Colossians and the church at Cayenne and the Fletcher First Baptist Church and all over the world, how many have been delivered from the power of darkness? And it's all because of His dear Son. Oh my, how precious is Jesus to us tonight. He's the reason for the season we just had. He's the reason for everything. That word dear there in the King James Bible, that's actually the word agape, the same word for charity in Corinthians there 13. And that agape love, He's that dear Son of God. He's the one that showed His love expecting nothing in return. That's the love of God. That's God, the God that is love. Amen. He loves us that much. It's His dear Son. And then listen, Paul, I don't want to call it running a rabbit here, but Paul gets a little sidetracked from his prayer here. And he just begins to preach a little. And he says it this way about that dear Son. He said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That's His dear Son. Listen to what Paul says about Him. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. By the way, you wonder where the coronavirus came from? What did the Bible just say? God's in control. He knows every little pestilence and every little germ, every little detail. It's all His from the very beginning. He created all these things. It's not taking Him by surprise. He created the evil and the wicked. He created everything for such a time as this. God is in total control. For by Him, that's the dear Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, His dear Son. For by Him were all things created, verse 16, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. Well, that's powerful. You better stop and think about that a minute before you go another breath in the year 2021. We need to stop and consider, ponder the fact that Jesus is everything. Jesus is all in all. And without Him, we wouldn't even exist, let alone consist. We wouldn't even be able to draw a breath of life. It's Jesus that's all in all. He even went on to say in verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Well, that's a fancy word, but it just simply means that He's it. Amen. He's the first and foremost. He's top notch. He's top of the ladder, top of the food chain. He's everything. And without Him in your life being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where will you stand in 2021? We need to continue in doing the things we've been doing. Continue praying these powerful prayers that will reach heaven and let God work His work, not our heart's desires or our wants. If you'll just learn to pray like God wants us to pray, you'll get your heart's desire. He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He promises that. Delight yourself in knowing that He has preeminence in your life. Yield to Him and trust Him. For He's the head of the church. He's the head of every born-again believer. And the Bible, He's to have preeminence. For it pleased the Father. Here He goes some more now. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Well, that's a lot. You think about these statements. We read through this, and you see how easy it is just to read through that, and I hope God's capturing your attention and got you on the edge of your seat and just wondering what Paul's going to say next about that dear Son of God. The one, listen to what he says, and having made peace. I remember the day when I didn't have peace. I remember that day, March the 14th in the year 2000. I had no peace. I didn't know if I was to die. I knew I was going to go to hell and be lost forever without God. But I heard, you see, that through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, that's that dear Son, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You see, it's that blood that is shed upon the cross at Calvary that provided peace for whosoever would call upon His name. It's that simple. But our pride gets in the way, and I hope your pride's not hindering you from going to heaven. Amen. Because mine did for a long time. But there's nothing like being honest with God and saying, "Oh God, here am I. I need You to save me." And Paul just said that I got forgiveness of sins and I got redemption and I'm going to be reconciled. Listen to what he done here. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I needed reconciling because I was an enemy of God. I was a child of the devil. I was a religious a good old boy going the wrong way, leading no doubt people astray and being hypocritical and things like that. But thank God that I was reconciled when I trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. His blood on the cross did it for me. It wasn't my church membership. It wasn't my baptisms. It wasn't my confessions. It wasn't my professions. It was just my faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all Him. It was all Him. He did it. He did everything necessary to get me to heaven. Without me having to lift a finger. Without me having to do any works of any kinds. Faith is not a work, amen. Faith is a belief and a trust and a putting your confidence in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went on to say, he said, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." That's me and you. If you're a child of God, you once were an enemy and alienated from God. And then he said in verse 22, "In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." My, how could that ever happen? I know myself. I mean, I know how I am now. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But in and of my ability right here, right now, to stand before God without the blood of his dear Son, who could stand? Who could even approach him? But oh, according to the Word of God, Oh, I'm not worthy to even say this, not worthy to even preach this, but the Bible says because of the blood of His dear Son, we can come to Him boldly and approach that throne of grace, because God's not looking at my past. He's not looking at the way I used to be. He's not looking at the way I used to think and the ways that even sometimes I think now, and sometimes I do the things I do now, and I'm not perfect. But I want you to know God sees me as a born-again believer in what Jesus did for him. And that's how He's going to see every one of His children. As we stand and go to meet God, one of these days He's going to look at us with His blood-stained glasses. And He's not going to see not one blemish, not one fault. We're going to be presented faultless, perfect before Him. I'm not worthy of that. I got to tell the world about this. Hey, it don't matter what you've done. Don't matter where you've been. He's able. He can save your wretched, wicked soul. The vilest offender, the song we've sung, the vilest offender can be washed white as snow in the precious blood of Jesus. He's the one that does the reconciling. You can't do enough good works. You can't do enough penance. You can't pay enough money. You can't pray enough. You can't do enough. Nobody is eligible. Nobody is worthy. Nobody is able to do what needs to be done in and of our own ability. But all we had to do was look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When you trusted in Him, He took care of it. He said, I got it from here. And oh, how precious it is to be born again, to be saved, and to know it. And to be able to go share with others. But in the body of His flesh, through death of His flesh, through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. But here's verse 23. Look at this. Verse 23 says it this way. And I'm not sure I understand all I know about this, as Pastor Barton says sometimes. But he says, if ye continue, there's our word. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So according to that verse, the best I know can understand it, every one of us, now don't get me wrong here, I don't believe he's talking about losing your salvation or falling from grace or anything like that, but every one of us could decide tonight or tomorrow to kick out. You can decide tomorrow it's not worth it. I'm not going to church tomorrow. I'm not going to do that. If you don't continue in the faith, where does that leave you? This is getting deep, ain't it? I'm not sure I understand all I'm preaching right here, but I'm praying God, and you pray God help us. But I believe there is a need for us to continue in the faith. Would we not agree to that? We need to continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And he went on to say, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You see, the devil's powerful. Oh, he can be an angel of light. He's the one that's good at deceiving our hearts, and he'll make you get discouraged. He'll get you down and out. In 2021, we might lose loved ones to this COVID and cancers and all kinds of diseases and sins and wickedness and ungodliness in the world. But Paul is telling us, don't give up. Continue in the faith. He just went through a list of things, my friends. How about the benefits of that list that we just read? Forgiveness of sins, redemption. Oh, to know that the Creator of heaven, love, the Creator of everything, loved me enough to die for me. Don't let the devil rob that from you. To know that God loved you enough to die for you. He's going to get you through this COVID thing. He's going to get you through 2021. He's going to get you through. You say, preacher, but I might die. Well, glory be to God. If you're a child of God, you're going to heaven. I mean, dying's not the worst thing in this world that you can go through. I know it's tough and rough, and I can say that because I'm not dying right now. Amen. But you understand that the Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints. What are you going to do? Threaten us with heaven if the little virus comes and gets us? And I know it's tough, and I'm not saying it's easy to die. I don't think that wrong. I'm not a candidate to die right now by no means. But according to my Bible, when I die, I'm going to heaven. How much better is that than what this whole world has to offer? You talk about success. Talk about prosperity and a blessing to step over in the glory and to see Jesus and bow at His feet and kiss His feet and thank Him for what that dear Son of God did for me. Not worthy to go. I'm not worthy to approach Him in this world, let alone meet Him in the next realm when I step over into eternity. But according to what my Bible says, death is just the beginning. Death in this world is just the beginning of an eternal life of paradise and peace with God. Can I preach to you the blessed hope that we have in this world? Can I tell you that don't let the devil and this COVID thing and depression of this world get you down and out? I know it's tough and rough, but according to my Bible, His grace is sufficient. He will get you through. But there is an if. You got to continue in the faith. You let your guard down, you say, oh me. You may say, it may get so bad, and I've been there. Maybe you have. You may say, where's God? God, where did God go? I'm all alone here. Why am I going through this? What's happening? What's going on? Can I preach to you to continue in the faith, grounded and settled? Go back to Joshua and Psalms and James and continue reading and meditating and thinking upon God, because this devil don't want you doing, the devil of this world don't want you doing that. He wants you to get distracted and your eyes on everything around us and be discouraged. But the Bible said, the devil will tell you this. He says the weapons of our warfare, this is what the devil will tell you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through a mask and through hand sanitizer. Amen? Is that where our faith is at? I'm not saying that I wore a mask in. That shouldn't keep you out of church, having to wear a mask, or if you need to, or whatever you need to. I'm going to wear one and do what needs to be done to keep the peace and protection and things like that. But the devil wants you to think that that's the only thing between you and heaven. No. You see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. It's Him and Him alone. And He can use a mask, amen. He can use hand sanitizer, and we can use all that and do the best we can. We ought to. We ought to do all we can to preserve life and live a life so that we can get back to Kiana, so that we can go and tell souls that there's a God in heaven that sent His dear Son. Oh, a Son that can forgive you of all your sins and redeem you and reconcile you. And He died for you so that you could have eternal life if you were to die today. Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're ready to go to heaven? Is your peace with God the fact? Or does your peace with God, let me say it this way, does your peace with God lie and is dependent upon His dear Son? His dear Son is everything here in 2021. His dear Son is the hope of glory. Let me skip down and I'll be through. I know I don't want to be long. I've already been long, but He said, to whom God, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. My friends, we've got a hope. This COVID and pestilence and little things, I mean, it may be taking our loved ones from us, but get them saved so you know they're going to heaven. You don't have to mourn over a loved one that's in glory. My goodness, think about it. This thing's real. I mean, I miss them and I know we love them, but think how much better off they are. This heaven's real. I'm anxious to get there. And I'm wanting God to get more people ready to get to heaven. And that's what it's going to take. Do what we need to do. We need to continue in the faith. And let me just close with that, to think that if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, I believe there's nothing we can't do. There's nowhere you can't go. That little virus ain't hindering God one bit. He's going to accomplish His purpose. He can do with this church more than He's ever done if you continue in the faith. That's a big if, isn't it? I believe He's not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about, I believe, prosperity and success and being a blessed Christian in this world. If you kick out and say, I don't believe it anymore, I believe you'll be sorry when we get to heaven. And you, that's a bad statement. And you're not going to be sorry when you get to heaven by any means. But you understand what I'm saying. You'll regret in this world what we neglect to put our trust in Him for. Think about that. You'll regret in this world what you're not willing to trust Him with. What are you willing to trust Him with? I'm trusting Him with everything. And I say that, and then something might come up tomorrow. I may have to get back on my knees and meditate and read and study and get back with God and look to Him in glory, because I want to continue in the faith, and faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Meditating, continuing, being not just don't be a forgetful hearer, but be a doer of the Word and of the works that God has laid out for us to be working. Every Christian has a job to do, and that's to reach one so that they will know the way to get to heaven. May not win them, may not be able to save them. I can't save anybody, but I can make sure they know how to be. I can make sure they know the way to be saved. But we're gonna have to continue in His Word. So please pray that for our church here, pray one for another. Don't give up. Don't kick out. 2021 is going to be a great year. It's going to be I may die. I mean, that'd be great. I'll be in heaven. You know, you say, preacher, I may get sick. My loved ones might die. Well, just get in tune with God and love Him and put your faith in Him. He's real, and He'll take you right to your deathbed. He'll take you right by your loved ones. He'll take you through this life. COVID, cancers, everything that's in this world, God knows about it. He made it. Continue in your faith and trusting in His ability to work it all out. And He will. And He will. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to help me believe what I just preached. Amen. I ain't perfect. That's good. That's good preaching, but this is hard living. Amen. That's a fact, isn't it? We need to ask God to help us to continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Father, I ask You, Lord, just to do that in my life. Lord, I cannot help anybody here until I continue in Your faith and ask You to help me to be more grounded, more settled, continuing in Your Word. And Father, I pray for each one here. Lord, what a blessing each one here is to us in the ministry in Kiana that You've placed us in. Lord, I pray that You show them the increase, Lord, and help them to see the prosperity and success and the blessings that they're a part of in the village of Kiana. Lord, we thank You for Your good hand that's upon us. Help our faith not to waver. Help us stand until the end, trusting You every step of the way. Thank You again and again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.